Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com. No!
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Bill Moss, who will have the KC Legends Show tonight at the Hollywood Casino. Of course, the Barstool Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino. Great place to watch the game. And your special guest will be one of the best long snappers ever, longtime Kansas City Chief Kendall Gammon, you'll have out there tonight, Bill. That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, always a good time out at Barstool Sports there at Hollywood Casino. It's an enjoyable time and love having the guys out there and just getting to sit down and, you know, have an hour just to talk about whatever, you know, whatever they want to talk about. We can talk about great game, great win last night or the upcoming Monday night game, their careers, what they're doing now. It's just fun.
So, Bill, it's almost difficult to find the right words to describe Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. And in a game like last night where you had so many of the playmakers out with injury, so much more was put on the shoulders of Travis Kelce, and he comes through with three touchdowns, including the game winner when Derwin James, one of the best safeties in football, is covering him. You've seen a lot of football and a lot of players. This guy's, in my opinion, the best receiving tight end in NFL history. He's on pace for 119 catches and 19 touchdowns and 1,500 yards. It's unbelievable. Bill, describe what you see in Travis Kelce and how great this guy is.
You know what's amazing about him, Stephen? You know, I mean, he does stuff week in and week out, and we're just accustomed to it. But do you know what's amazing about him? When was the last time he was injured?
Right. He gets banged up.
The guy has been available his whole entire career. He doesn't miss games. He doesn't go on the IR. He doesn't miss games. You know, I mean, his greatest attribute to me is his availability. I mean, he's an unbelievable athlete and really fast and knows how to run the routes and work people and play the position great. But to be available that often through your career is really tough to do in the NFL. And he's been able to do that. I mean, he's just been available week in and week out, and that's why all those numbers just keep piling up.
But when you have a game like yesterday, the Chargers scored 146 left, and the Chiefs still have two timeouts, and you know what they're going to do, and you know who they're going to go to, and you've got the best, one of the best safeties in football, a guy that you drafted to try to stop Travis Kelce. I mean, I don't know, maybe look at this from a Chargers perspective, because I made the analogy of, you know, shockingly, of a great heavyweight fight. To have a great fight, you have to have a worthy competitor, and the Chargers are able to hang with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill. It looks like we lost Stephen, but go ahead if you had a response to what he said there.
So you know they're going to go to Travis Kelce. I mean, was there anybody in the free world watching the game last night that didn't know the Chiefs were going to drive and score?
Right. And that it was going to be Kelce. Like, I knew they were – I was thinking to myself, well, of course, like, Mahomes is going to drive down and make a play. But somehow I was still a little surprised that it was Kelce again, because it just almost seems like, how could they possibly let Kelce beat them in the red zone? But I should have thought all along that it was going to be Kelce, right?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Stay with me here. Right now, the greatest attribute the Chiefs have as an offense is the unknown. Okay? Forever, it seems, or recent years, you knew what you were going to get with the Chiefs offense. You're going to get Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Do you know what you plan for now as a defensive coordinator? You don't know. You don't know who the running back's going to be.
That's right.
You don't know. You don't know what formation they're going to come out of. Three tight ends? Huh? You don't know how they're going to spread the field on you and the personnel groupings. What they're doing to teams right now is unknown. Because you, as a defensive coordinator preparing for them, you don't know what's coming out. And it's crazy. And that's the best thing they have going for them right now.
It's just the competitive fire, the ability to play your best when the game's on the line. Look, you know this, when you were with the Chiefs, so many times the Chiefs are on the wrong end of that, you know, going up against a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's just got to be, for the Chargers, they're right there in every game against the Chiefs. And even look at the records right now. What the difference is, the two games against the Chiefs. And they're a player or two away, but how gut-wrenching does that have to be for the Chargers that they have a chance to win all these games and Mahomes just rips their heart out?
I've been on the other end of it, Steven. You're right. I mean, it'll make a grown man cry in the locker room after the game. You put everything into it. You're there. It's in your grasp. You have it. Clock's running down, and poof, it's gone. Yeah. I mean, I've been on the other end of that. I know that feeling. And it's frustrating, but it's just not the Chargers, Steven. It's the rest of the NFL. It really is. I mean, I said it before. It's, you know, the Chiefs are the Harlem Globetrotters, and everybody else are the Washington what are
Generals?
Generals, yeah, that's it. and you might make a couple good shots. You might make a couple good plays. You might even have them on the ropes. But it ain't going to happen. And that's just the feeling that not just Kansas City gets to experience. I think anybody that watches the Chiefs play, even Fonzie, he knows.
Fonzie knows. When when Arthur Fonzarelli is on your side, you can't lose Nate Bukati.
That's right.
And you know what, though? Hey, it feels like the Chargers really jumped the shark last night, though, huh? Oh, that's a good one.
Wow.
You don't get nothing from Marco?
Do you know what that even means, Marco? Do you know what that means, Marco? Do you know what that reference is?
Told you guys this. I started watching TV in the 2000s. 2000s.
Oh, Bill, help me. This guy doesn't know what Jump the Shark is. Jesus.
So, Marco, the concept Jump the Shark during this show, as it was kind of running its course, there was a – do you want to explain it to him, Steven? I'll probably butcher it worse than you, but –
Man, nah, just the idea. They'd always have these cliffhangers, the happy days. One time he was jumping a bunch of trash cans behind Arnold's, and he got hurt, you know, how bad. But anyway, you know, these cliffhangers, and finally they had an episode where Fonzie was there. They were at the beach, and he was going to do it on water ski. It sounds ridiculous now that I'm repeating this. They had him out there at
the
competition on water skis, and he's gonna literally jump a shark. And it got so ridiculous, it's like that's when that show jumped the shark, and it kind of went downhill from there. So when something jumps the shark, it's like a turning point in that show or in that someone's life or whatever, and it kind of goes downhill from there.
It's just
so
like,
the Chargers jumped the shark. It's a Fonzie reference, perfect, and it deserved a rim shot, but Bill Moss left, and that's all I effing care about.
It was good. And now that you're putting it all together, I mean, Nate is totally Richie Cunningham.
That's exactly right. You are. That's exactly right.
I don't
right.
feel like that's a compliment, but it kind of hits home, you know.
Should
so
be.
I just gotta own that, don't I?
I think so. I think you.
I feel like I was more
like
Opie, you know, from his, you know, from Andy Griffith before he became Way Richie Cunningham,
right.
You know. But
okay,
whatever.
Let me ask you about the defense, because Chris Jones was a beast. Mike Dana had two sacks as well, and even though Nick Bolton made a couple of bad mistakes, he rebounded, ended up with 14 tackles, a forced fumble, and an interception. The defense, and look, there were still 31 seconds left at the end of that game, and the Chargers just needed a field goal, and the defense got it done. What did you think about those individual performances and just the defense overall?
Well, Chris Jones, I mean, we talked about it last week. I mean, he should be in the running for – you know, defensive player of the year. I mean, he's just that dominant and he makes such an impact on almost every down. You know, if you look, 95 is in the backfield. He just disrupts stuff, and other people clean up. You know, he disrupts it. He disrupts his timing. He disrupts handoff. He disrupts pass rush. That's what he does. He's just a force. And then, you know, Nick Bolton, I love what he's doing, man. I mean, just his presence is everywhere. I mean, sometimes, you know, you're gonna notice when he makes a mistake, but nine times out of ten, you're gonna notice him making something happen. And you know, like you said, there was 30 seconds left. Herbert could do anything. He could drive the field. He could get him in field goal range. That interception came up big, and it just sealed the game for him. Mike Dannon stepping up. The pass rush is stepping up. The guys are and Frank Clark was back, but for the most part, it's just they understand who they are, and they understand that they have to make something happen in order for the defense to be what they need it to be to win a Super Bowl. And each and every week, it's somebody else is stepping up and becoming that pass rush guy, that force. And Mike Dannon, where's he been, right? But he's stepping up. He had an opportunity. He's stepping up. So I just like the way they hold themselves accountable. I think they have a feeling amongst them that they know they're special. They know this team is something unique and special, and they don't want to be the weak link, you know? They've got a quarterback. They've got an offense. They've got all these things going in the right direction to win a world championship. And none of those guys want to be the weak link. And I think that's how they play, and it shows.
I'm glad you brought up Mike Dana making that play, because it's obvious that Chris Jones is getting double and triple teamed on most plays. And so somebody's got to take advantage of that. And we started to see that a little bit in the game last night. But I want to go back to Nick Bolton, because as you said that, you know, Chris Jones is playing at a defensive player of the year level. Is Bolton playing at an all-pro level, or at least close to it? I'm looking at it. He's number six. He's tied for sixth in the NFL in tackles. He's got a couple of sacks. He's got an interception on the season. We know he's played well for the Chiefs, but when you look at it in the context of the NFL, how good of a linebacker has he become?
Yeah, he's playing at an all-pro level. There's no doubt he should have consideration for it. You know, when you think of the Chiefs, obviously most people talk about across the country is the offense because of 15, because of 87, and, you know, rightfully so. But, you know, a guy like Nick and the things he's done and the steps he's taken in his progression from his rookie year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's absolutely he's playing at an all-pro level.
Okay, Bill, let's take a quick look ahead at the next opponent, the Rams, and they are 3-7 now. And, you know, Cooper Kupp is out. We don't know if Matthew Stafford is going to be available. But this is the worst record for any defending Super Bowl champ through 10 games. And I'm just, you know, besides injury, you know, what has gone wrong for the Rams this year? Because this certainly is not the level of opponent we expected when we saw the schedule to begin the season.
Yeah, but that's okay, right?
I like it.
That's okay. Yeah. I don't know what's gone wrong. Obviously, it's not the same chemistry offensively as they had last year. They made some moves and changes to their team and their roster. Probably hasn't panned out well for them, but I mean, that's good. I mean, I'm not concerned about the Rams, nor do I care that much. I mean, that's just another obstacle in the way. But when you look further down the road, who are the teams that could create a problem for the Chiefs?
And at Cincinnati.
I think at Cincinnati, absolutely. And at Seattle, what's going on there? They're playing as a team. You know, that's a complete team. They play all aspects of the game, and they feed off each other offensively, defensively, special teams, and they've got something going there. You know, they remind me of the 90s Chiefs. You know, they just keep grinding, they just keep working, they feed off each other, the defense is stout, Field position is a big factor in special teams, and they can create a problem for teams. So those two, down the road, those two teams concern me a little bit, but even so, I mean, I don't foresee with as it is right now, without injuries, that we Chiefs don't have the home field advantage, number one slot in the AFC.
Nate Dugatey.
All right, Bill. The overall landscape, as we talk about, you know, this game against the Rams, are you amazed at how easy the Chiefs' schedule looks to close out the season? By the way, the Bengals game still looks like a tough one, but apart from that, this was supposed to be the toughest schedule in the NFL coming into the year, and now as you look at it, a bunch of games against the Raiders and Broncos and the Texans. Are you amazed at how easy this schedule looks the rest of the way?
Yeah, and you know, I'm amazed at how the schedule changed from the perception of what it was going to be. Obviously, before the season, it was the toughest schedule in the NFL, and how the landscape has changed. But you know, here's the thing that I like most about the Chiefs. They never looked at it. They never talked about it being the toughest schedule. They never ever. We did. Everybody else did. The fans did. All the talk shows, all the sports center. Everybody talked about that schedule. The Chiefs never addressed it once, and they're not addressing it now that the landscape has changed and it looks like easy street. They just go about their business, and it doesn't matter. I mean, and I think you can see that each and every week. And Steven, I was talking, I think you fell off before. The greatest thing the Chiefs have going for them now is the unknown. Like, you used to know, you're playing the Chiefs, you knew what you were going to get. You're getting an 87 and 10, right? You're getting Tyreek Hill, and you're getting Travis Kelce. And now, as you're planning for them as a defense coordinator, you don't know what you're getting. They're coming at you in all different varieties, I mean, all different formations, all different personnel groupings, three tight ends, two tight ends, you know, spread them out, different running backs every week. It's, you don't know what to plan for. And that's a big, big advantage as you're going down the stretch here and you're getting ready for the playoffs.
Absolutely. A huge game by Sky Moore, who stepped up, and Justin Watson when they were needed because of all the injuries. Jody Fortson came through with a couple of big plays.
Yeah. Noah Gray, a big block for tight ends for the touchdown to Kelce. Yeah, man, all those guys,
yeah,
man. It's just, yeah, it's fun to watch.
Something else that's fun to watch are all the people down there having fun at Barstool Sports at Hollywood Casino for the KC Legends Show tonight with Bill Moss and Kendall Gammon. Great times to be had tonight, so hopefully you guys will have a nice crowd and enjoy the 49ers and the Cardinals.
Well, yeah, kind of. Right? Well. 49ers and Cardinals. We'll have a good time, though. We'll be placing some bets, even.
Bill, you can make it matter for you now, though. You can make it exciting. We're out there with the Barstool Sportsbook,
right,
baby.
That's right.
That's right. That's go see Bill Moss and Kendall Gammon tonight. Bill, thank you so much for the time.
Guys, thank you, and I don't see you. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody out there, too. Great Thanksgiving.
Right back at you, Bill. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. That's Bill Moss, who talks Chiefs football with us every freaking Monday. Victory Monday. Can you tell how good of a mood I'm in, by the way?
No. Nope. Yes. I don't know.
I'm filled with energy and love. I'm excited. What? I even told Marco I'm excited to watch the U.S. Men's National Team later. I really am.
No, I'm getting super nervous, man. I'm getting so nervous.
Don't be nervous. No.
Nervous.
Don't be nervous. Don't be
I'm
nervous.
Trying not
you
to.
Okay, no. You know why? You know why you don't be nervous?
Why?
Here's the deal. They weren't in it last time. And so don't take that for granted. And so all you wanted was them to be in it so you could care and you could watch, and you got that stolen from you. Like a thief in the night. Stolen from you. Like your heart was stolen by that bad woman in Wichita, that Wichita Wrangler. Okay, she wrangled your heart and stomped on it.
She did. She roped it up.
Tied it up and whipped it on the ass. But let me tell you something. But you lost it, but now you got it. So don't take that for granted. Don't be nervous.
Just enjoy every minute of it, because it could be eight years again.
Yeah.
You know? Well, no, they're going to be in the next one. They got to. So.
Right. But just soak it up.
I know.
Just soak it. Enjoy this time, because you didn't have it. Remember, you liked watching the World Cup last year, but you were miserable.
It was the whole time. It was like
miserable.
It was like a reminder. Every time I watched the game, it was like a reminder. Hey, your team's not in it. You know.
Just throw yourself into it. Okay. Enjoy it. Trust the process. All the coach speak I could give you, man. Don't wish the time away. You know what? Lean into that nervousness.
Lean
into it.
There's so much promise with this young team. It's the most talented young team we've ever had. They got it. You
Mahomes.
Know, but, yes,
they just
Mahomes.
Think, whenever you get nervous, you say yourself, Mahomes.
What if Mahomes
and then
warm
feeling? Warm feelings go over. What would it be like if the greatest American athletes all played the World Cup?
What if Kelce and Mahomes played soccer?
Right. They could do anything.
Of course they could. Of course they could.
I don't care what they would be. If they were a duet, they would be at the top of the charts.
They'd be like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire, you know? If they would dance together, they'd be everything.
Go look at what I tweeted right now.
Oh, boy.
I need this tweet to go through after I just said that to you, don't I?
I just got a picture of Bill Moss is all I see, which is nice. Oh,
there. There, it just went through, though.
New one.
Mm-hmm. Look at the look on my face. That's a tremendous look of satisfaction. That picture is so creepy. I'm an absolute creep.
And he does not want to look at you.
No. Would you? Someone just, I think maybe you or someone took that picture while I was interviewing him. I think it was you. And I'm not, I don't even know. I'm not even paying attention. I'm so locked into him.
You're just looking into his eyes.
And I am so satisfied that I'm sitting there talking to him and just looking at this specimen of, what? A football player. Like a Greek god that's been sent to us to catch touchdowns, you know? I mean, there's a look of satisfaction on my face.
Oh, you're so happy.
I'm usually pissed off.
You're lost in his eyes.
Right? I'm just looking at him. I'm mesmerized is what it is. I'm mesmerized.
You definitely have the Chris Farley, hey, remember when you won the Super Bowl?
Like, I sit down for the interview, just talk to me, buddy.
Yeah.
Just say something.
Just be Travis Kelce for me.
Talk words, and I'll sit here and listen intently.
That's how I look at our next guest.
Right.
You know?
Matt Beasley's going to come on the show with us. I'm going to make him talk about the Chiefs, and then he's going to tell Nate to stand down, chill out, don't be nervous, and just let, you know, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. That's what you got to feel like. Back after this on WHB.
Boss it.
This here's a champ for all the fellas. Try to do what those ladies tell us.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Again, the Chiefs win in dramatic fashion, 30-27 last night on Sunday Night Football. Matt Beasley joins us. Matt, we'll talk soccer in a minute, but did you get a chance to watch that thrilling victory by the Chiefs last night?
I did. It was a great game.
That's right. And listen to me. You're an unbelievable competitor. You show your competitive fire every time you try to evade Nate Buchanan's full court press he puts on you constantly. But what I want to know, this as a fellow competitor, when you see like that mode that Mahomes and Kelce go into when there's 1:46 left on the clock and like everyone in the world knows what they're going to try to do and they're just going to do it anyway because they're so good. Like, I mean, how much respect do you have for that when everything is at a peak as far as the importance and the attention and everything? It's coming down to this drive, and they're just perfect. It's just unbelievable, right?
It is. It's impressive. It's just,
It's incredible to watch. It really is. It's awesome to see. I mean, they've changed the way that we think. You know, they've changed the way we all think and feel, because 1 minute and 46 seconds left in the game to go score a touchdown, that is not a lot of time for the average team and average players. But it was almost comforting, right?
Right.
When the Chargers scored, you know, because if they would have ran a couple more plays and we would have stuffed them, and then they scored on, you know, third, fourth down, and there's only 20 seconds left, that's a different story. But it was almost a good thing that they scored so early, which is crazy to say, right? Early, a minute 46 left in the game. But that's the world we live in. We're very spoiled right now.
Hurry up and score so the Chiefs can rip your heart out. Matt Beasler, okay, real quick, I like to we talk about the pictures I post on Twitter when you come on the show. Your choice, a picture of just you and me, or a picture of you, me, Nate, and Christian Okoye.
We gotta go all four of us. We gotta give the Chiefs some love with Okoye. We gotta give Nate some love too. It's a big day for Nate. I bet you he's really nervous right now with the U.S. playing this afternoon. So let's give Nate some love too.
All right, check that tweet out and tell me how you like that picture. And then we will talk about Nate now. Nate's very nervous. I tried to talk him down from the ledge in the last segment. And I just tried to tell him, look, you didn't have this experience last World Cup and you were devastated. So just appreciate and enjoy the fact that they're back in it. And don't let yourself ruin the experience by being too nervous. Matt Beasler, talk to this young man and give him the confidence he needs to get on stage at P&L later and rally the troops and get fired up for this game.
Nate, how are we doing? How are you feeling?
I'm nervous. I'm getting just all, you know, all the pregame jitters right now. I'm getting excited to head down to the Power and Light. I stupidly get a little nervous just to get on stage and do all that stuff anyway, but I'm more nervous about the game, but excited too, because I have I think the reason I'm nervous is because I have hope for this team. You know, they're a bunch of unproven guys. There's only one guy on the roster that's played in a World Cup, and the rest of the guys are really young but really talented. So I feel like they have the chance to really kind of announce their presence to the world with this World Cup, but it's not going to be easy. They're playing against a good team in Wales with one of the greatest players on the planet. So, I do want to say this real quick, Matt, before we get into this. I want to make sure everybody knows that Matt is our World Cup insider. He's going to be joining us routinely during this World Cup to break down the U.S. and all the other games, and he is presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. And, Stephen, tomorrow night, Matt and I are going to co-host a World Cup special right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 7 o'clock. So we'll be breaking down this today's action with the U.S. and all the other stuff that's going on, so I'm excited about that too. How are you, Matt? Like, how do you feel about this thing going into what are we, about 2.5 hours from kickoff?
I'm excited. It's a unique feeling for me, just being on the other side of things now. You know, being retired and being away from the game for a little bit, really enjoying and looking forward to just watching the team and cheering them on, just like all of us. I'm excited to be a fan. And honestly, I'm excited for the tournament to start, because it's been a little weird for me the last week or two with this build-up to the World Cup. A lot of the storyline has kind of been, you know, looking back on what happened in 2018 and the failure for the U.S. team to qualify. Obviously, I was a large part of that group, and so It's always interesting flipping on the television and, you know, seeing some of those images, bringing back some of the memories from that night where we lost in Trinidad. Even just this morning, you know, you flip on the TV and, you know, there's a picture of me laying on the field, and it's like, oh, okay, that's not what I wanted to see this morning, but here we are. But I think once the tournament starts, you know, I think we'll sort of turn the page on that chapter and really start looking forward, and the focus will be on this team and what they're about and what they can accomplish in the World Cup. So personally, I'm really looking forward to the tournament starting. But yeah, I'm just excited for this group of players, and it's a huge opportunity for them, and I'm a huge fan.
Okay, so Matt, you've got a lot of young players that have not had this experience of playing in the World Cup before. Take me back to the first time you were going to represent
the United States before your first World Cup match, what were those few hours like before you were ready to play in that game? Because this is something that mentally you gotta be ready for this as much as physically, because this is a stage unlike some of these players have never played upon. So tell me what's going through their minds right now a few hours before kickoff.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think experience is an interesting thing to talk about. You know, I think on paper, this is the least experienced team we've ever had when it comes to World Cup experience and age. But at the same time, when you go down the roster, we have guys playing at some of the biggest clubs in the world, and we've never had that before. And so from that aspect, we're actually probably – it's the most experience we've ever had. You know, guys are playing week in, week out in some of the best clubs in the world. And, you know, Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, I could go down the line. They're playing in Champions League games. We've never had that before. So experience is always a tricky thing to talk about. But, you know, one of my concerns is the lack of veteran leadership on the team. You know, for me, going into a World Cup game, I'd never experienced it before in the locker room. What I did was I would look to the veterans. You know, if I was feeling those nerves in the locker room, I would immediately just start looking at the Michael Bradleys, the Clint Dempseys, Tim Howard, Landon Donovan, and I would see what they're doing, you know, and that brought me comfort to kind of look over my shoulder and see Tim Howard, he's getting ready. There's that calming effect, like, okay, yeah, you know, Tim Howard, Clint Dempsey, these guys are with me. I don't know. I don't know if there's that leadership, but at the same time, I don't know if it's going to be an issue because this team is as talented as we've ever been.
Okay, so for the audience that maybe hasn't really been following soccer, you know, over the last 4 years, and all of a sudden it's the World Cup and they're interested, let's try to give them a little thumbnail on some of the guys to watch out for the U.S. today. Matt, you mentioned Christian Pulisic. I think most Americans, even non-soccer fans, at least have heard his name and know about him. He was the first, really, of this young wave of players that you're talking about to go over to one of the biggest clubs in Europe and have success to the point where I think it kind of opened the door for some of these other guys. He's the only American to ever play in a UEFA Champions League final, which is the Super Bowl of professional soccer, and his team won it. But he's been coming off the bench most of this year for Chelsea. Do you expect him, they call him Captain America because he's that first guy, and he does have more experience. He was on the field with you at Trinidad and Tobago when that infamous game happened. Do you expect him to be the guy that kind of carries the team in terms of a leadership role, or the guy that has the most on his shoulders? Or what do you expect from him in this tournament?
I hope he's the player that we lean towards. I hope he shows up. He is our most talented player. He's our biggest name, and he needs to have a big tournament if we're going to make a run. So, and he knows that. There's a lot of responsibility that he carries, and I think he's capable of performing with that responsibility. He's shown it. You know, he hasn't been in the best run of form with his club team, but I don't think it matters. I think, you know, he's coming in with a fresh attitude, and he wants this. And I'm really excited to see him perform.
And then let's just run down a couple of the other big names. In the midfield, I think most people feel that this is the biggest strength of the team, is on the wings and in the midfield. In the midfield, they're calling the MMA midfield if it starts this way, with Weston McKennie, who you mentioned. He plays at the biggest club in Italy, at Juventus. Yunus Musah, who is a young player who is playing in La Liga at a very high level. And then Tyler Adams, who came from the New York Red Bull system, but right now is playing at Leeds United in the English Premier League. How good do you think this midfield is? What do you think they're capable of? What do you want to see from them? And I'll throw in Brendan Aaronson as well, because some people think he could maybe get the start today. And he also is a young guy who plays for Leeds United in the Premier League. What do you think of those guys?
Yeah, I think it's the strongest area of the field that we have. And that makes me excited, because I think the midfield is oftentimes when the game is won and lost. And so, yeah, you go down the list. Tyler Adams just got named captain. He's really the emotional and physical leader of the team. He does a great job with his energy. He flies around the field, and he's going to play a huge role for us. And then Yunus Musah is sort of a new face. He was discovered, you know, about a year or two ago, He's one of the guys that has the dual citizenship with an American passport. He's probably our most consistent midfielder. Super talented, plays over in Spain. Really excited to see him play too. And then you've got Weston McKennie. I think Weston McKennie is probably our biggest X factor. I think he's a game changer just with the way that he plays. A little bit inconsistent, you know, maybe not as consistent as Eunice or Tyler Adams, but he always seems to show up and make the big plays. You know, he's going to have some mistakes on the field as well, but you want a guy like that that can just show up and make that play, especially with set pieces. Look out for him. I think he's very, very underrated with set pieces. He's got incredible timing, and he always seems to get on the end of things, and he scored some really big goals off of corner kicks with his head for the U.S.
All right, before we let you go, just a couple of quick ones. Gareth Bale, of course, he's a star player for Wales. But just tell me, you know, what type of challenge that's going to be for the U.S. men's national team. And besides him, who else do we have to look out for? What are some of the other key matchups?
Yeah, Wales is a tricky team. They're dangerous, especially in this first match. You really want to get off to a good start. You know, I think a win would be huge. You know, a tie still puts us in an okay position. But I hope the U.S. comes out on the front foot. I don't want to see us come out and be conservative and sort of feel our way into the game and the tournament. Like, I want to see us come out on fire, guys flying around into tackles, you know, fast, aggressive. And let's go out and take the game. I think we've seen in the first two games, you know, Ecuador came out like that, and they were playing against the host country, Qatar, and they took the entire, you know, country's steam out of the game in the first 15 minutes with the way they came out. And then obviously we saw England come out this morning and play against Iran. The game was over by halftime. So, you know, the U.S. can do that. You know, that should be our approach. Like I said, Wales, though, is an interesting team. They like to sit back a little bit and counter. So they typically play, you know, five people in the back, five defenders. They like to clog it up. The U.S. traditionally hasn't performed very well with that. I think that's going to be an interesting debate with tactics to see how that plays out, to see if we can break them down. And then, you know, Wales, like I said, they sit back and they kind of counterattack with Gareth Bale and Daniel James. They both have extreme pace. They're really good in space, and so it's something that we're going to have to counter.
Nate Ducati, you take it home.
Okay, I just want to let everybody know that we'll be down at the Power and Light District starting. They open the gates at 11 o'clock. You do need to download a ticket to go, and you can do that for free on SeatGeek or go to the Sporting KC app, but you can still do that. So, and it's free. They check your ticket when you come in. It opens at 11 o'clock. Our guy Dylan's going to be down there raffling off a team autographed Sporting Kansas City jersey. We're going to have other giveaways on stage and all kinds of stuff, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And Matt, you and I are going to be doing a show tomorrow night to recap all this. So it's going to be fun. Here we go.
Nate, let's give a prediction. What do you got?
I'm going to take the United States 2, Wales 1. 2-1, the U.S. win. What about you?
I'm going 2-0, U.S. win. Oh. I think we're going to come out aggressive and confident.
I almost went 2-0, and then I chickened out. All right, I'm writing you down.
3-1.
Nice.
Love it, Steven. Yes.
Marco? He's going to be watching from his bed, by the way, Matt.
I'm cozy. I got to be cozy for this one, all right?
This is a nice cozy score.
You feeling a little, you know, you struggling a little bit from the weekend or what?
Matt, we found out about Marco that he likes to watch his TV while in bed, nice and snug, all cuddled up. That's how he watches games and how he watches his TV shows mm-hmm. when he gets a chance. And so that's just what he prefers to do. So that's nothing wrong. He just, as he said, wants to be cozy while watching the game. How about that, Matt?
I'm trying to picture that, and I can't. Sorry, Marco.
What's your pick, Marco?
Let's go. I'll go with you, Steven. I'll ride the 3-1.
Wow.
3-1.
Unbelievable.
Bale gets one for Wales. at some point.
Yeah, I would have been after the game. Maybe, you know, when it's already up 3-0, we'll just get a late one. Hey, Matt, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you, and we'll look forward to talking about the World Cup with you for the next several weeks.
Sounds good, guys. Go USA. Let's do it.
That's right. Listen to Matt Beasley say, go USA. Let's do it.
Oh.
It's not very long. It's a couple hours from now.
Between Mahomes and Kelce last night and then Matt Beasley coming on our show and saying, go USA, you just – I need a cigarette.
Yeah, that's right. Nate will have a nice cigarette coming up on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I will defer to Nate Bucati so he can tell you where he'll be shaking his ass later today.
Yeah, baby. That's what you want to see. I'll be at the Power and Light District, the place for all of the epic World Cup watch parties. And I will point out that Fox has cameras positioned in the Power and Light District as they plan to show images of our amazing watch parties to the entire world. While the United States takes on Wales today, they open the gates at 11 o'clock. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. It's supposed to be a beautiful day. There are going to be giveaways and all that stuff. It's going to be great. So come down. Get your tickets on SeatGeek for free.
Go home from work early and get to P&L to watch the World Cup with Nate Bucati right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.